Okay, Bishus, Rashiva, the Mashkiach, and Choshev Olam. First off, I want to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for allowing me to come so far to talk Torah to the Olam. I'm dedicating this year B'schus Yaakov Gershon ben Liba Reza, that he should have a tremendous amount of Hatzlacha in all the things that he needs. And I want to thank Reb Nissen Abram for helping me with this Zvart. 2 years ago, during the Knife Intifada, I was with my brother-in-law in the Old City, obviously in the Arab Quarter. And up ahead, my brother-in-law was with his wife and his kids. And up ahead, in the distance, a few hundred yards, there was, in the Old City, there's all those alleyways. An Arab guy stuck his head out and then stuck it back in. And then a second head came out and they stuck it back in. So right away, I told my brother-in-law, just stay close, just in case there's a confrontation, Chas Hashalom. And then a second later, another head, a whole group. So we're getting closer and closer. And I started forming in my head, Lu Yitzur, this is an assign, how I would, deal with it. That's so funny. If Chas Hashalom, right? And we get closer and closer. And as we pass by, I noticed that they were looking behind me. It was like a goat. No.
It was one of their women.
Yeah. It was one of their Arab friends or something. So Baruch Hashem, we passed by. But I'll go upon him. After that, I started thinking, we grow up in elementary school. Very often we daydream about certain things happening, physical things that are dangerous to us. What would we do to get out of it? Grow wings, fly away, claws, right? All these different things. But when it comes to Ruchnius, when do we ever find ourselves daydreaming about what happens if you're in a situation where the Yitzhara grabs you? Yeah, you're in the moment. Obviously, you didn't plan to be there because that's usser. But you're in the moment and the Yitzhara gets you. You ever daydream about that? How would I get out of that? I go home Pesach and there's unfiltered internet in my house. I'm walking down Gula, something comes up. You ever daydream about that? Maybe no, I don't know. But let's daydream together. What happens, how do we deal with such a thing? So the question is going to be very simple. If you're in the moment, the Yitzhar is there about to get you, is there anything to do? We know before a war, you make a strategy. If you have a strategy, you're much more able to overcome it. But if you don't, what happens? So let's say you're in the moment with the Yitzhara, Ruchnias, your neshama, what do you do to get out of that? Okay, that's a valid. So here we go. We just finished the whole story of Yosef HaTzadik, and perhaps from the story of Yosef, we'll be able to see some type of idea, some type of secret to overcome Nisrenis in the moment. Okay, so we all know that Yosef was thrown out of, he was the glory of Yaakov, he was the son who was mamish, wow. Right, he was thrown out, and he was sold to Potiphar, he went to jail, he became the dream interpreter, and then he became second in command. There are many, many, many interesting things throughout the whole story. I want to pick out four things that we're going to talk about. Okay, the first thing we're going to start is in Parshas Vayigash, the end of Parshas Vayigash after Shvi and Perek Mem Zayin, Pasuk Yud Dalid. The Torah spends 14 psukim, starting off, Vayalaket Yosef Eskal HaKetz VaNimtza Beretz Mitzrayim. 14 psukim describing what Yosef HaTzadik accumulated for Pari, how wealthy he got him. 14 psukim, it's 229 words. It's a lot of words. I don't have many letters. A lot of words. A lot of psukim, a lot of words describing the wealth of the president. Who cares? Who cares? Yeah? He got him all the money, he got him all the animals, all the land, everybody became slaves, all because Yosef Pari became a multi-trillionaire. Okay, great, nice, so what? We know the Torah doesn't waste any ink. There's not a drop of ink in the Torah that's wasted. Even the smallest Yud, the Gemara Darshans. 14 psukim on Pari? What? Right? Very mind-boggling. Okay, well, let's leave, this is actually the Ramban Bavarns this, but we're going to leave this on the side for now. Okay, question number two. Mitzrayim, as we all know, or if we don't, we'll know now, Mitzrayim was a really, really bad place. The Pasuk says in Parshas Acharimais, K'maisa Eretz Mitzrayim, Asher Yeshavtem Ba Loi Sasu. The Torah is being made. Do not do like they did. Stay away from them. Anything that they did, anything that they were involved in, don't do, because they were disgusting. Shtufei Zima, Znos. The Yitzhara had his grip on everything going on in Mitzrayim. It was a lot worse than anywhere today. It was the place of just disgust. Yosef HaTzadik is sold when he's how old? 17 years old. The pasuk says in Vayechi, Yosef ben Pyrus, Yosef ben Pyrus Ali Ayan. He was beautiful to all who saw him. Bonis Sa'ada Ali Shur. The Nashim would climb walls to look at him. That's how beautiful he was. The Gemara says he had 9 of the 10 kavim of beauty. So if you think you're good looking, nah. But the Maisa, you understand what I'm saying? This is a person who is just beautiful. He comes into a place where there is zero ruchnias. There is nothing. He got kicked out of his house. His brothers hate him. He was beloved by his father. He's gorgeous. He walks into a place of disgust. For 13 years, he's completely alone. Then he gets married. He has children, fine. For 22 years, he was away from his family. 13 years alone. How in the world did he make it? How did he succeed in staying tahar and staying kaddish? Ad kedei kach, that 22 years later, he remembered the sugya he was learning with his father. I don't remember what I taught yesterday. And 22 years later, he remembered. How is it possible in a place like this? Just to put things in perspective, okay? Imagine other people. Imagine taking a guy 17 years old, putting on in a college campus for 13 years alone. Zero connection, no WhatsApp, nothing. Zero ruchnias, no connection in a bad college campus. There is a zero survival rate. It's impossible. There's no way. So how did Yosef do it? I actually, over Hanukkah, we had a few college boys over for like a little masiba. So I asked one of them, I said, is it possible if I would come to your college? I don't know where he was, Minnesota or something. I said, if I would come for 13 years. He's like, 13, you would? Well, what are you going for? I'm like, 13 years, let's say. alone from everything. No ruchnias, no hat, nothing. Is there any way I can make it? He said, it's impossible. He said, the things that I've seen in 2 years, impossible. So how did Yosef do it? What in the world was his secret that he was able to overcome such a terrible... And also, just to make it stronger, Eishes Potiphar was bothering him day in and day out, which was, in itself was a tremendous sign. So how did he do it? That's question number 2. Okay, so perhaps we're going to leave the first question aside for now. We're going to just stick with this question. Let's take a look. What was Yosef HaTzadik's biggest nesayin? His biggest nesayin was Eishes Potiphar, the wife of his master, who tried to seduce him day in and day out. The Gemara says she changed her clothes in the morning and at night. Every single day, even when he was in jail, she used to come with a knife and try to stab him in order to make him do an avera. Right? The pasuk says, we all know obviously that he did not do the avera. He was not even on the chet. The pasuk says, "Vayikedaber al Yosef yom yom." Every single day she came, every day. Veloishoma eleha, he did not listen to her. Lishkav etzla, lishkav etzla, lying next to her. Lihi yois ima, and to be with her. The Torah says two lishoinas here. Number one, lishkav etzla. And number two, lihi yois ima. Okay? The Gemara in Yuma and Daf Lamed Hamad Beis says, what is this referring to? It's referring to Olam Hazeh. Lishkav etzla is Olam Hazeh. Lihi yois ima is Olam Haba. He was trying to say, don't bother me in Olam Hazeh, don't bother me in Olam Haba. Okay, let's hold this for a second. The Ramchal, in the Mesil Sasharim, as we all know, he starts off Perek Aleph, Yisoyed HaChasidus, V'sheiresh HaAvoida HaTmimuhu, She'yisbar V'yisames Eitzel Adam Achei Vasei Bo'ilamai. And he comes from Pirkei Avos Perek Dalet, Mishnah Tazayin. He comes and he says as follows. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Yaakov Omer, HaOilam HaZeh Doime L'Firuzdor B'fnei HaOilam HaBa. This world is a hallway. It's a prizdor. It's just a hallway. A hichatimsa. Haskin in this, that's what this world is, b'fnei olam haba, in order to get to the next world. And says the Mishnah, Vayta haskin atzmach, the prizdor, you should get yourself ready in this world, prepare now, in order, shetikanes l'traklin. Okay, this word traklin you have to know for the shir. Traklin means the banquet hall, the place where you want to get to, right? The hallway, the metzias of a hallway is to go through it, right? You're not supposed to look at the picture on the side, right? Even if it's the Mona Lisa. You're supposed to go through it and go into the door, get into the banquet hall. That's what you're supposed to do, right? And that's the sight of this world. This world is just a way to get to the next world. I don't think there was ever a person, ever in the history of people, that on a flight somewhere, he took his suitcase on the plane, unpacked it, and put it in the head thing. His socks, his undershirt, everything. Especially if it was an hour flight. Impossible. Why? Because every fool knows that a plane is a chetimsa. You're not there for the plane. The plane is just to get you to a different place, and then you get off, right? It's the same thing with this world. This world is the prizdor, and Olam Haba is the traveling. Now, Western culture, and Northern, and Eastern, and all cultures, and the Yitzhara, He tries to tell us, no, it's not that way. It's not that way. It's all about living for the moment. If you have more now, take more now. If you have more food now, all you can eat. That's what all you can eat is. Live for the moment till you bust. Right? Live for the moment. That's what the Yetzirah tells us all the time. It's enough of this, sacrificing this and giving up this and looking at this. Just right now, if you have what to take, take it. Aye, it's bad for you. Who cares? Be jolly. Be jolly today. Right? There's something called it is good, and there's something called it feels good. Two very different things. Some things that, the things that are good don't necessarily feel good. And the things that feel good usually, not usually, some don't necessarily mean that they are good. But the point is the Yetzirah comes and the Yetzirah tells us, live for now. Don't live for later. And if you're Ma'ayan in the words of Eshes Potiphar, this is what she told Yosef. She told Yosef, go back a few psukim, Vayhi achra adra ma'ela vatisa Eshes adayna v'seinel el Yosef atoymer shichva imi. She never said tu l'shayna. She said one lashon, shichva imi, be with me, come with me. Get out of the trachlan, enough with this olam haba. Live for the now, I'm here now, take me now. Well, what are you being all like this mystical above nature, different after you die, you become, what are you, just now, come here now. And that's what she said. And he answered back, tu l'shaynas. This brings light to our question. How did Yosef survive so many years alone? The Teretz says he was never in Mitzrayim. Of course he was in Mitzrayim, physically. But in his mind, he was never in Mitzrayim. He was in the trachlan. His entire life was looking at Olam Haba. Is this a good investment for right now? Or am I going to get something so much greater later? Very often, right now, something's there, so just grab it. Forget later. Who cares later? I have to think later. But yeah, anybody who invests money, you know that you give up now to save later. And that's how he did it. Yosef HaTzadik was never in Mitzrayim. Even though physically he was, his entire time he was in Olam Haba. And that's why she wasn't able to touch him. She said, come Olam Haba. He's like, what Olam Haba? I'm investing something for so much greater later. Poet, and I didn't even realize. You understand what I'm saying? That's the var. That's how Yosef made it. Now with this mahalach of the chocolate, we could answer a few more questions. Another very bothersome thing in the whole sugya of Yosef is after he got taken out of jail, Pari calls him in and he says, I had a dream. It needed to be interpreted. And Yosef listens to the dream and he interprets it and then he gives him advice. He says, I'm going to give you some good advice. If you want to, you have to find a guy, somebody very, very smart, who is able to take all of the wheat of the whole country as it grows in abundance and save it for later. Put it in a storehouse, save it for later. Then even when the famine comes, which is going to be a devastating famine, you'll be able to live, you'll be able to survive. And Pari's blown away. Says the Pasuk Vayomer Pari Yosef, Achrei Hayadia Lihim Yisrael Eskol Zois, Ein Navin V'Chachem Kamecha. That's unbelievable. I have never met anybody as smart as you. Save for later? Second in command. Ah, you were just in jail for who knows what? Second in command. Why was he blown away? Pari was none of his wizards. Nobody, all the kishuf, all the smart, all the ga'inis that couldn't think save for later. Any kid knows. Anybody who has any ever invested money knows you save for later. If it's going to snow tomorrow, you go to the store, you buy two milks instead of one. Pari didn't know this. Wow. Pashtos. So what's the pshat in the pasuk? What does that mean? Enovin v'chachem kamecha. So it could be perhaps this is taka the pshat, this malach that we're going. Where was he? He was in Mitzrayim. What was Mitzrayim? We said the epitome of live for the now. He was the king of the epitome of live for the now. To save for tomorrow never existed in his subconscious. Never existed. To save for later, what are you crazy? If you have more food now, you take more food now. Save for later. He was blown away. And that's the part. For Yosef, he was a bechina of trachlin. His entire life was living for eternity. Why would I waste my time now in something that's going to kill me later? If I could invest so much more later. And that's why he became second in command, Taka, because Pari couldn't understand such a thing. This answers another question. The pasuk says when Yehuda came to confront Yosef, Yosef took Binyamin after he stole the goblet, and he said, how dare he stole from me? What's going on here? We're keeping him. Yehuda came, and it says, right, Vayigash lev Yehuda, Rashi says he came with some fury. First he came nice, then he took very, very sharp. Big confrontation. And he says whatever he says, and then the pasuk says at the end of this whole confrontation, V'lo yachol Yosef lehis apik. Yosef was not able to hold back anymore. Whatever Yehuda said blew him away. He was not able to hold back. He had an emotional explosion. And he's like, everybody get out. I'm Yosef. He's my father alive. He had to reveal himself. What's that mashma? What does that imply to you? Leis Apik. That implies that he was not ready to reveal himself. He did not feel that it was time for the Shvatim to be over with all of their tzaras for having sold him. And he wanted to hold back, but he could not control himself. An emotional roller coaster. Well, what did you just say? He said that I locked myself up. I have to take him back. My father, it's the only son from the mother. I'll kill every mitzri. Okay? He was alone for 22 years. He held back every time. He was able to be strong. Every kind of, all of a sudden, this blew him away. What? Right? That's the question. Valid question? Even if it's not, I think it's valid. Fine. So what's the Teretz? The Teretz says you look a few psukim previously, and it's unbelievable how it comes to light. The pasuk says, "Ki avdecha ora v'sanar me'im avi lemar, im loy avi enu elecha v'chatasi lavi kal yamim." Yehuda came and Yehuda said, "Do you want to know why I'm the one who's talking? You know that there's Reuven, there's Shimon, there's Levi, three brothers who are older than me. Why am I the one confronting you? Let Reuven talk. He's the oldest. Why am I?" And Rashi says, from what Yehuda said before, he said, "I'll tell you why. Because I'm the one who locked myself up to my father. I told my father, let me go down, and if not, I promise that I'll bring it back. And if not, this world and the next world will be taken away from me forever." Rashi says, "Bebeze lamas." I am Rashi. Rashi says, "Bebeze even the traklin." Yehuda told Yosef that I'm willing to give up my life to challenge every mitzvah to get my brother Benjamin back home because I gave up my eternity for this. I gave up my traklin for this. And there's no way I'm giving that up. I'm not being mavater on that. When Yosef heard that, he realized for 22 years, he was the only person in the entire Egypt who was being mavater the now for later. He was the only one living for eternity. He was the only one focused on Olam Habba. There was not a hint of ruchnius besides him. All of a sudden, his brother comes and he mentions that exact prat. He says, "I'm giving up my Olam Habba. Bring it on." That's what he was saying, and Yosef couldn't. He couldn't hold back. He said, "This is what I'm missing. This is exactly me. This is we're the same." He said, "I'm Yosef," and that's the pshat why Leis Apik. And now, getting back to our original shaila, with the Ramban shaila, that what's the pshat that there are 14 psukim extra in the end of Parshas Vayigash? Who cares about Parah's riches? The Teretz says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's not writing the Torah to show us how rich Parah got. Who cares? Who cares how rich he is? Who cares how rich Trump is? Who cares? The president? What's the Nachamina? Who cares? There's no difference to our life. But what the Torah is trying to tell you, Chaim's back. What the Torah is trying to tell you is one thing, and that is if you give up now for later, you will have a lot more. Parah would never have been a quarter as wealthy as he was if not for giving up. He could have taken all that green and made massive parties every night, but he didn't. He listened to Yosef, and he said, "I'm going to save for later. I'm going to be mevater. I'm going to give up my yitzhara now to eat the food for later." And he became a multi-zillionaire. Everything he got, every person was a slave. All the land was his. Everything was his. And that was all because giving up. So of course the Torah is not wasting ink telling us how rich Parah was. The Torah is teaching us a fundamental yesod in life. If you give up now for later, you will get so much more. You're right, it is kishmak now. You doing? Good? Chill? The boys? Right? It is. But you're going to get a lot more later if you give up. And this is taka what Moshe Rabbeinu did also. By Moshe Rabbeinu, when he left Mitzrayim, everybody took all the money. All the Yidden took all the kesef, all the zav, and he took Atzmas Yosef. He took Yosef's bones. He was looking for the mitzvah. What mitzvah can I do? He did it with Yosef's bones. Yosef, the epitome of the traklin, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing also. He said, "I'm going to also give up from the now. I could take the cash also," but he didn't. He said, "Which mitzvah can I do now?" And he brought him up on the river, and he took him. And who lived like this, right? It's a song from Eithe, Chavetz Chaim. Not just passing through. Chavetz Chaim, his entire life, he had nothing in his house, no furniture, right? The famous story, the doctor, I'm a lawyer, came into his house, said, "Where's your furniture?" He said, "Where's your furniture?" He said, "I'm passing. I'm also passing." The Chavetz Chaim's entire life was the traklin. And we just finished Hanukkah. This was the set of Hanukkah also. What were the Yevanim doing the whole time? The entire time, the Yevanim were trying to say, enough with this above nature. There are 7 days. There's no eighth, bris milah. There's no kiddush HaChodesh. Everything's not. There's only the prosdor. This is the yesod of the Yevanim. There is only the prosdor. Enough with this traklin. Enough with this oilam haba. And the Chashmonaim said, no. There is a traklin. There is an oilam haba. There is something later. And that's what the whole melchama of Hanukkah was about. So therefore, to just bring a sikum over here, to just all of our thoughts. People often ask, to daydream together, right? To understand what could we do when we're in the moment. When you go home and there's internet. I'll say it. I was in my house on my computer. I use my computer to type. And on my computer, I have a very powerful filter. It only allows me three websites. And I was in my house. It wasn't right after I prepared this. I prepared this 2 years ago, but it was like mamish dat. It was mamish dat kufa. And I was sitting there, and my filter shut off. It's like, bloop, your filter's gone. It's just play TV. How you doing, right? I was like, and it was mamish after I had this speech. What did I do? I put myself in that daydream mode. I put myself in, what would I do in a situation in the moment? It's called live in the tracklin. It's called think of the word eternity. Everything else is gone. You have no time to strategize. You're right. You don't. There's no time. You're in the zone right now. You're there. What do? Shut the computer and I booked to the shul. The next, right? That was the yisayit. That was the yisayit. The yisayit is that a person has lived. So therefore, for all of us, when it comes to our different yisayinus, right? This is the outlook of every single yid. Doesn't matter if you're walking down Geula. It doesn't matter if you're on the internet. It was a mistake. Doesn't matter if you're on Rosh Shabbos. Doesn't matter if you're on vacation, if the Rosh Hashiva's not here. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if it's Pesach, if it's Sukkot, if you're on the train, big nesayinus, if you're on a plane, if you're on a boat. Doesn't matter where you are. If you're by a meal that they serve wine and whiskey, tequila, vodka, and beer, 1847, 1632, that's a bar, by the way. But you know what I'm saying? When you go to a Shabbos meal and there's nesayinus there, you have to put yourself in that mode. We're not here for now. Yeah, you're right, it is geschmack to go to that meal and to do that and to go here and you're doing, right? It is geschmack. But unless you're giving up from your much bigger investment, you're investing in the 4 seconds of geschmack. It could be in Mamila also, it could be anywhere, wherever you're going, 2 seconds, it's 2 seconds of geschmack. What are you doing? You have such a big thing to look forward to. The track, Olam Haba, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You understand what I'm saying? And you're giving it up. You're giving it up for 2 seconds. 2 seconds of pleasure. Doesn't make any sense. And Abba said, this whole thing that we just went through, that's all only when it's not putting yourself in the moment. But obviously, to go to a place that you know is bad for you, to go to a meal that every time you go there, you come back drunk, obviously you can't put yourself there. If you know that screaming in the halls at 12:30 at night is going to wake up people, and that's going to be Avron Bina. Don't do that. You know what I'm saying? If you happen to be screaming anyways and you happen to be in the hole, so then you can put yourself in chocolate mode. You understand what I'm saying? When it comes to Nisjanis, and I just want to finish with one mushel, try to finish the job early, so it could be Avron Bittel Tech, Chas Hashem. No, but the Maisa, we're going to finish with a mushel. And what's talk of the pshat that we want to live in the chocolate? Why do we want to have our lives like this? You walk in Nagula, and there's an Nisjan, and you're like, no, I'm not. I'm giving up from the now because I want to invest in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to invest in the chocolate. And you hold back. Why? What's the malakha? What's happening in the end that this is going to be in effect? And if anybody listened to the recording of the last speech, it's also in the end of there. I think it's very appropriate to say it again. It's an extremely, extremely important mashal from the Chavetz Chaim. And that is that there was a guy who cheated on his taxes once. And the king found out. And he was sentenced to death. He was sentenced to death a week later. Now, all of us, we don't know when we're going to die. We don't know when these things happen. So therefore, we never feel our heartbeat. We don't feel it because we think we're going to live forever. We're the ones who are going to make it, you know? We're not going to hit the grave. But Lemaisa, he felt his heart beating. He felt it counting down because he realized he had 1 week to live. So what did he do? He went to his best friend and he was crying to his best friend. He had a friend for 50 years. He did everything together with. He went to him and he was crying. He said, please come with me to the palace when the king kills me. I need some support, somebody to be there with me. So his best friend said, are you crazy? I'm not going to, you're getting killed. You might kill me also. I have a family. He says, no, but you're my best friend. I invested everything in you. You were my entire life. No. Right? So he said, no. He said, I don't understand. I spent so much time, so much investment, so much agmas nefesh and all the different times, all the DMCs that we had, this and that, and you're just not going to come with me? He said, no. This is too much. This is getting killed. I'm not. Okay, so he went to his next best friends, his family members, the people that he's friendly with. And he said, maybe you guys could come with me. They said, not really, but we'll walk you to the palace. He said, no, I need some support. You didn't say I'm going to die. It's over. Once it's over, it's done. There's no more investing. There's no more nothing. They said, we'll take you to the palace. Anyways, the morning, Tuesday morning comes. And that's the day he's getting killed. And he's davening the best shachar he's ever had in his life. And he's crying, and he's doing like everything. Twice, thrice. And the Rav hears him. The Rav hears him crying. The Rav is an old man, 200 years old. And he hears somebody crying, like with that thing, you know, he's like, wow. So he like limps over. He falls on the way. He gets up. And he comes over and he says, why are you crying? He says, you probably can't even hear me if I told you. He says, no, I could hear you. He says, I'm going to die today. I'm going to get killed. I cheated on my taxes. The king found me and I'm going to get killed. So the Rav said, King Henry, I'll come with you. He said, you'll come with me? You don't know me. He said, I'll come with you. So he gets in a wheelchair. And they go to the palace. And the king's raging. He says, how dare you cheat on your taxes? And he calls his executioner, who comes with a huge spear. And all of a sudden, the Rav comes, falls again, his hip. But he gets up and he says, King Henry, you can't kill this guy. He's like, Father. No, he doesn't say Father, but he knows him. He knows the Rav. And he says, what are you doing here? He says, this is a guy, he davens in my shul. Don't kill him. He says, okay, no problem. Go, free to go, cheating taxes all the time. And he leaves. And he's saved. He's saved from an ancient rabbi, an old man. An old rabbi comes and saves him. He's mind-boggled. He goes home and he lives the rest of his life. He dies when he's 180. Everything's gevaldik. That's the mashal. What's the nimshal? The nimshal is that there is going to come a time. Sorry to scare you, but there's going to come a time that every single one of us in here is going to be in our graves. And we're going to hear a summons. It's going to be from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they're going to say, whatever your name is, Shmuley, Yossi, Yitzi, Mir Simcha, it's time for your judgment. And what are you going to do when you're in your grave, you can't move? What's the first thing you're going to do? You're going to try to go to your best friend and be like, best friend, come with me. Who's man's best friend? Cash money. Money. And you're going to be like, money, you have to come with me. Every single one of my tzaras was money. Every time I spent too much, I spent a little, had a cheshbon, I'm going to pay rent, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. 9 to 5 for 90 years. Everything in my life was money. And when you go to the money's going to say, niet in Russian, or no in English. No, I'm not coming with you. It's a different world. Olam haba is a different place. I can't be there. You'd be like, are you, all of my tzara was you. No, impossible. So he's going to go to his next best friend, his car, GTR, how you doing, right? All his different cars, and he's going to go to his phones, and it's this and it's that. And they're going to tell you, no, we're going to take you to your funeral. That's about it. That's about the funeral. You see everybody with their phones, and because that's the second best friend. And then you start shifting upward. You start going closer and closer to the judgment day. Closer and closer, and everybody's waiting. The Malachim, the Sefer Torah is waiting there. Everybody's waiting there. Everybody's waiting there. And there's nobody going with you. And all of a sudden, little ancient rabbi, in the form of, I don't know, a mezuzah. You once kissed a mezuzah. He's like, yo, I'll come with you. And you go higher and higher, and all of a sudden, this mitzvah comes. This is ancient. I'm talking about 2005 years before the world was created, even the mitzvah was created. This Taisvis, this Daf Gemara, that second Seder, this first Seder, this Musar Vad, even the speech. This speech is considered Torah, I think, right? Hope. Right? It's going to come with you. There's going to be a big malach coming with you. You invested a half hour of time in trying to get close to Hashem, living. And it's going to come with you, and it's going to be there to protect you. And therefore, every single one of us should be Zeicha, that our entire lives, not just tonight, because now it's fresh, but I'm saying tomorrow once we forget what we learned. Like, we forgot yesterday, right? 22 years ago. But anyways, the point is that we have to live our lives giving up from the now. Even though you're right, that meal might be an awesome meal. It might. It probably is. I would also, right? It is. Probably is. But Lamaisa, it's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to follow him and give up from the now. Just like Yosef HaTzadik did. Just like Yehuda was looking at. Just like Pari had no clue to think about it. We have to live our lives with eternity. In the chocolate. That means whatever the nesayin might be, whenever, doesn't matter when you're engaged also, there could be big nesayinus. Whenever the case is, a person has to have his mindset, his outlook, his goals in Olam Haba. And we should all be zeicha mitzvah Hashem to be living in the chocolate for all eternity.